There it is. All right. Psalm 119. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalm 119. Pardon?
It is long.
It is long. Yeah. And ask these people. They know. We've been doing this since verse 1.
Where are we?
We're on verse 145. Cough. And again, you know, as we, you know, repeat regularly, is that Psalm 119 obviously is the longest psalm in the Scripture, longest chapter in the Scripture. And every verse, maybe with the exception of one or two specifically, has reference to the Word of God. It exalts the Word. Psalm 119 exalts the Word. It's David, King David, exalting the Word of God in his prayers. And the phrases are very succinct, but is David sharing his heart over time and 176 verses of declaring every problem that he might have ever had, and then recognizing that the answer is the Word of God.
Amen.
And I wonder why it's not taught on more often. Obviously, I didn't do it until I got here. Got to it, but it's. And it is almost like a poem. It's divided up into 22 sections, each one titled by the letter of the 22-letter Hebrew alphabet. And every one of them has 8 stanzas in it. And so it's got a certain meter to it. It's got a certain poetic frame to it. And so, but I believe that the Lord set this up for us so that we can just make daily meditation on these things. I mean, it's got 22 of them, right? Okay, you could do that 5 days a week for a month, you know, 22. So you could do that just to make that a part of your regular reading. Is just to encourage you and to build you up. You know, a lot of people will read Proverbs one chapter per, you know, per day for a month, and then start over again. Well, this is only 8 verses, so it's something you can do. It's something you can work on. Now, this particular section, Kof, beginning of verse 145, has a specific significance to prayer, and so we want to look at this. And it starts out, "I cried." In verse 145, "I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord." Jesus cried to the Lord. I mean, you know, you figure Jesus, well, he doesn't have to cry to the Lord. The Lord hears him. You know, he maybe could just, you know, talk softly. But Jesus was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. His nature was the nature of God for our redemption. But Jesus was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he emptied himself. He emptied himself. He walked as a man on the earth. He was tempted in every way. It's not that he couldn't sin. He didn't sin. He was tempted. If he was tempted, that means he could have, couldn't he? He was tempted in every way. Otherwise, he couldn't be a redeemer for us. He was tempted in every way like we were, yet without sin. So every temptation that we experience came upon him. And he resisted for us. And then he took all of our sin upon himself as a pure vessel. Took all of our sin upon himself. But as a man, he would be tired, he would be hungry, and he would have opportunity to cry out to the Lord and to go to the Lord. You know, I mean, he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights without food. The Holy Spirit sent him into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Wow, can you imagine that? Can you imagine anybody being sent into a wilderness place to be tempted of the devil, to be tested by the devil? How about one of you? How about me? The Lord will test me. The Lord will test me. Why? To see what I'm made of? No. So that I will believe him and trust him. The reason for testing is to prove himself to me. That's the reason for testing. The reason for testing is to prove his faithfulness. Not to prove my faithfulness, but to prove his faithfulness. That's the reason for testing. Amen? Is to bring you along. To bring you along. And so he can show you that the love of God is ready, is always in place for you. So David says, "I cried with my whole heart. I cried with my mind. Not just with my mind, not with my hurt and my pain, but I cried with my whole heart. So David already has a relationship with the Lord. So he's not like afraid in the sense that, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to go under. But everything coming against me in this flesh, he cried with his whole heart. He has a whole heart. Over in Psalm 51, he says, "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit on the inside of me." So he's saying, so he's crying to the Lord, even knowing that David now has a whole heart. He's crying to the Lord because you're in this flesh, you're in this body, and the distinction between flesh and spirit, the distinction between this world and the kingdom of heaven that we live in, that we daily exist in, becomes more and more distinct. Janet was talking about the fact that, you know, one of the teachers she talked about says, well, it's come down to, you know, Christians and the pagans. Well, it's always been that, but it's just very distinct, isn't it? It's just very distinct now. You know, Scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the end days. And we see that, you know, those of us who are older than Judah have seen a transformation of this particular society, which we looked at as being, this is the ultimate, you know, wonderful experiment in godly leadership, you know, in among people. Well, it's kind of fallen by the wayside now, hasn't it? Because we have all kinds of, I mean, everybody does what's right in his own eyes. That's Scripture. I mean, it's not a surprise. Scripture talks about that. You know, the thought of all men was evil continually in the book of Judges. And so God is still working on the inside of us, but he's working to transform the world one by one. He's working to transform the world. And so for me and you to cry to the Lord and have that relationship that he's already designed. It's not something that he's going to, not something that you have to work up. It's not something you have to work up. Just step into it. Just step into it. Amen? Let's just step into it. See, it's nothing. The Lord is not trying to get you to do something, perform something, so that he'll be pleased with you. He's already pleased with you. He just wants to try to unload everything, all of his goodness on you. And we kind of hesitate to do that. We want to unload all of our goodness upon our kids. And they're like, okay, I'm good. You know? Let me just try this out. It's like the prodigal son, you know. Okay, Dad, just give me the money. Don't give me the wisdom. Just give me the money, and I'll be okay. Yeah, I'll learn as I go. Well, he certainly had an opportunity to learn. Then, you know, eventually one day, ding, you know, the light goes off, and all of a sudden he began to think, you know, my father's house, even the servants eat better than I do. And so he's all of a sudden realizing that the wisdom that his father had that probably got him the money, the wisdom that his father had that caused him to live a life of peace and joy rather than misery and pain, that wisdom was something he also needed to receive. And that's what we need to receive because we've got so much going on in this world. I mean, the more and more you have going on, the more and more you have that's getting your attention. You know, we have all kinds of wisdom and all kinds of knowledge. The Scripture says, in the last days, knowledge will run to and fro. Well, that sounds good. Sounds like something that we ought to take advantage of. Is all that knowledge that's going on, all that Google that's going on. You know, you can get knowledge. You can spend days and hours and weeks and just, you know, learning every little bitty thing that you could possibly learn. Of course, everybody knows everything that's on the internet is true. So it's always good to have the internet around. But, and it's not that there's not, you know, helpful things. But the fact is not to continue in it and not to depend on that. What we depend on is the Word of God. What we depend on is the hope of the gospel. Amen? That's what we depend on, is the hope of the gospel. So here, David says, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. Next phrase. I will keep thy statutes. Now, I was sharing on this last week in Fort Worth, but the one thing I see I notice here is I cried and I will keep your statutes. And wow, there's a bunch of I in this. And then you start looking at the whole psalm, the whole chapter 119. Put your I in here. Put your I in me. Well, that's just not right. You know, we always think that the I and the me, the big I and the me, is all something you want to avoid. But no. What we want to look at here is what's my relationship with Jesus? What's my relationship with the Lord? I want to focus on that. I want to focus on what he and I are doing together. What's he doing in me? Amen? So, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me. Not hear my brother, not hear my sister's cry, but hear me. This is us in the presence of God. This is what he wants from us. Why? Does he need it? No, he's pretty good. But I need it. The whole thing about God's relationship with us is we need it. We need him. Amen? I need him. And he's made all provision for it. He's laid it all out. He's put cookies on every chair. You know, everything is great. It's like that Sunday school class, you know. He's put everything in place, and we're just like the kids. Whoop, whoop, just running around, kicking the chairs over, and, you know, we're just not paying any attention. Like, the Father still loves me. He still loves me. So today, if this week, if you've just been crazy, it's great. The Lord loves you. Just all he wants you to do is say, thank you for loving me. Thank you that you're loving me. Thank you that you're changing me. Thank you that you're in me. Thank you that your spirit dwells on the inside of me and you're transforming and changing me into your image, Father. Because our hearts cry begins to be transformed. Our inner man becomes powerfully moved with a desire for the Lord. As we come into his presence. It's like, you know, the most people, when they're reading the scripture, they're reading the scripture to get an answer. Right? Jesus said, you search the scriptures for you think in them you have eternal life. But it's they that bear witness of me. So it's not in the scriptures that you have eternal life. He exalts his name, word above his name. Why? Because his word exalts his name. His word reveals his name. So he exalts his word above his name. Because the word reveals his name. And it's not in the scriptures that you have eternal life, but it's they that bear witness of me. So it's in Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. How did people live before they had a Bible in their hand? Before 500 years ago? Testimony. The testimony is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's how these things take place. Is that testify and witnesses. You shall be my Bible readers. You know, Jesus said when he was fixing to leave. You shall be my Bible readers. No, he says, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witness. How can you witness something? You see it, and then you share about it. Or your whole life is a witness. Your life is a witness. Somebody just sees you, here's a disaster that happened to somebody, you know, and you have that disaster going on, and the person is not swearing, cursing, and crying, but the person is like, hey, God is good. And you're like, that's weird. That's an odd result. I could never do that. You know, but again, it's somebody who has never known the Lord. I mean, there are people in school that their parents have never heard the gospel in the United States. And then therefore, you know, Judah, in your class, you could be a second generation. Fellow students could be a second or a third generation that have never heard of the gospel of Jesus in the United States of America. Yeah. Noah Webster says, you know, the guy that wrote the dictionary, he's got a name, two or three names down on the dictionary now. It used to be, now it's Merriam-Webster. I don't know who Merriam is. And so he said, without the Bible, education is useless.
That's for sure.
There is no education. There is no education, something of this nature. There is no education apart from the Bible. There is no education apart from the Bible.
Well,
the folks who began the nation, by and large, were Christian. That's what they figured people were going to, how people were going to live. And so John Adams, of course, said, without morals and religion, this government really is not built for anybody, anything else but that. I mean, if you don't have self-governing people under the Bible, under the Word of God, under the righteousness of the kingdom of heaven, then you know, you really don't have a nation. And I'm sad to report that God's Word is true, and we really don't have a nation. You know, I mean, we have the framework, we have the appearance of a nation, but the nation in this country, the nation is the people. Isn't it? The nation's not the structures and the buildings and the elected offices. It's the people who elect the elected offices. You know, and we don't even teach civics. You know, we may have a half a semester of government, but I don't know what they teach. But they certainly don't. Now, I'm an election judge. You know. And it's amazing how nobody knows anything. I mean, just people in general, much less students, knows anything about what's going on and you know how we elect our elections. They know you go vote once every 4 years. They don't know that you vote every year for your city council person because only 2% of the people ever even go vote for those. Amen? You are a witness. You are a witness of the God, of the goodness of God, and God has given you an opportunity to rule, self-rule, not only yourself, but your city, your county, your nation. And so for you to go out and share the goodness of God and then to vote it in, to work to put it into effect, that's a miracle. Most countries in the world, they have one guy or a group of guys ruling the thing from the top. And most people have no idea. They have no connection with or no ability to even have anything to do with the leadership in their nation. We have all capacity. We have complete capacity to preach the gospel by who we elect into office, to rule us, to be our servants. That's what it is to be a witness, isn't it? To be a witness. You're a witness of the goodness of God, of the power of God, of the love of God. That's how you, because you put these people into office to rule righteously, to put down evil, to lift up, and to allow us to continue to preach the gospel in freedom and liberty and not to have it, you know, reduced. So, when we come, we cry out to the Lord because we have that relationship with Him. And we know that He is ready to hear us. He wants us to come. He wants us to come and cry out to Him to separate our flesh and our unrenewed minds from our informed spirit. The Spirit is the new you. The Spirit has come alive and He lives on the inside of you. But He must inform your mind. Your mind is still messed up. Anybody know that? Your mind still got stuff. Mind still got junk that goes on. I still respond wickedly. Anybody like me? Still respond wickedly. Not probably, maybe not as much as used to, but still. Oh, golly! You know, just you know, do your best to not upset, you know, God or people or. But no, is that no? I'm totally free. Don't get bound up by that. Even your failures. Don't get bound up by your failures. Amen. Oh, my God. I'm sure God's mad at me now. No, He's not. He's not mad at you. He hates the flesh, but He's already made provision to destroy, to get rid of your flesh. Amen? So, let's begin by rejoicing. Let's begin by crying to the Lord, Father, thank You that You love me. David is all confident that the Father loves him. He's totally confident. He's totally confident that the Father loves him. Let's look at some additional scriptures here. So I cried to the Lord with my whole heart. Hear me, Lord. I will keep Your statutes. Now, again, I always preface that. So keep means not what you think it means. Keep is the word shamar or natsar, which is in the Hebrew, which means to guard or observe. Doesn't mean to obey or die. It means when you say, I will keep them, I keep them as something that's valuable and precious to me. I keep your commandments. I will keep your statutes. And they transform me because they're my most prized possession, the desire of my heart. And so he begins to use those, as I meditate on these things, that's when he begins to change me and transform me into that same image. All right? I will keep your statutes. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. This is, of course, Solomon talking to his son. He says, my son, give me thine heart. So that's what the Lord cries to you, is give me your heart. Give me your heart and observe my ways. That same word, natsar, is observe. Keep your eye on me. To quit looking around. Exodus 14, verse 15, when Moses is before the Red Sea, he says, the Lord says to him, why criest thou to me? And he's heard the cry of his heart. What are we going to do now? Here come the Egyptians and we're in trouble. So in that scripture, he says, we don't hear the words, Moses' words, but God's answer to that heart's cry. Do you know you can have a heart cry that God will answer? Your cry may not be verbal. You ever notice that? Your cry may not be verbal, but you've got something going on in the inside of you. Anybody ever had that? You have something that's going on in the inside. It seems like turmoil on the inside of you, but God answers. God answers. Why criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they would go forward. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense because a big sea out in front of them. Lift up thy rod and I stretch forth thy hand over the sea. So he just commands you what to do next. Sometimes he doesn't give you the final answer. He just tells you what to do next. Amen. Just follow him. Follow me. What did Jesus tell, these guys? Did they ask him for a business plan? Follow me. He'd just come across Andrew and Peter. Follow me. James and John, follow me. Came to Matthew, Levi, sitting at his tax table, taking in money. Follow me. He just got up and left. Followed him. Psalm 3, verse 4. David says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalm 5, 2. Give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. Psalm 39, verse 12. I cried. Attend to my cry. Well, you sound pathetic. And you are without trust in God. You are poor and needy. Though you're filled with God's Spirit, you still have a flesh that still attempts to preside. And you're poor and needy in that regard. Amen? So every day, just confess, I'm poor and I'm needy. I am poor and needy, but I have everything that I need because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Does making the distinction between a flesh that is never going to improve from outward appearance, maybe somebody outwardly would see you would do something that would be a blessing. But don't assume that, though you're walking with the Lord, that you're walking without the Lord. That just because there might be a good deed that comes forth from your hand, it didn't come from your heart. He's doing all the deeds. When the young man came to Jesus and says, "Good Master, how shall I inherit eternal life?" First thing Jesus does is says, "What are you calling me good for? because you're looking at me. You think I'm just a person. You think I'm a person, and I'm a good person. And so you think I have some answers. But Jesus wants you to know that don't assume any man is good. As good as that man looks, don't assume that person is good. Give no credit to flesh. No matter how wonderful that person may be, give no. And we do that. We do that a lot. You know, there's a wonderful person. They do wonderful things. Thank you for the philanthropists. They do such wonderful things. They must have a wonderful heart. I doubt it. God alone is good. God alone is good. Making the distinction that God alone is good and that we don't put any trust in man. For middle verse of the Bible, Psalm 118:8, don't put trust in man. Don't ever put trust in man. Don't ever put trust in man or hope in man. All right? So, Psalm 39:12 says, I cried. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Next verse, verse 146 says, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy commandments. So, I cried unto thee, save me, and I will keep thy testimonies. Isn't that powerful? Once you save me, I will, again, the word keep, I will observe and trust your testimonies. Again, the words we look for in Psalm 119 are His judgments, His word, His law, His testimonies, His statutes. All of these are references to God's word. And every verse has reference to it. So I cried to thee, save me. We're in Psalm 119, verse 146. And I shall, Shamar, keep thy testimonies. Matthew, over in Matthew chapter 14, he had Peter out there with Jesus on the water. And it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, when he saw trouble, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, Lord, save me. So you always have access. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about having access. Did you know you always have access to the throne? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let's always come to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. Always, always. He's always there. He's always available. He's always ready for me. Every single day. Now, am I going to necessarily hear an answer? No, but I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have peace because He's always there for me. Always there for me. Maybe I won't get an answer today. Maybe I won't find my ring today. It's okay. Because He's always got me. He's always got me. Here, Jesus is with Him on the water. The wind is boisterous. There's Jesus standing right there. There's trouble right in front of you. And you begin to look around and see the trouble. And say, Lord, save me. Help. And He began to sink. So when he saw the wind boisterous, that's when he began to sink. Okay? It's not when he quit paddling. You know. Not when he quit treading water. It's not when he quit doing something. It's when he began to see the trouble rather than Jesus. Amen? Is that when we walk seeing Jesus, we know that all things are taken care of. Even though it looks bad. Even though there's problems everywhere, we know whom we have believed, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against the last, against the day of His return. I know whom I have believed. And whether or not you feel that way in your gut, I just say that. I would say the word that I know. I would declare the word that I know to speak to my flesh and speak to my mind, to declare to my mind what the word of God says about me. Jesus, save me. And he reached out and caught him. Now, I don't know if Jesus picked him up like this, you know, in his arms, or if they walked back to the boat. I've heard both stories. You know, the scripture doesn't say specifically. Well, they walked back arm in arm. No, it doesn't say that. But he said when they were coming to the boat, the storm was calmed. I like to think that he walked back in, you know. Just rose back up and just they walked back together arm in arm. Just into the boat. Either way, God takes care of you. Well, I hadn't seen it. God takes care of you. Well, I need to have some proof. God takes care of you. He borned you. He brought you into His kingdom. Well, look at this person. Look at that person. You know, remember when Peter or one of the disciples says about John, well, what about that brother over there? Jesus says, if I will that he remain until I come again, what's that to you? It's none of your business. Amen. Because Jesus doesn't want to deal with you through somebody else or through somebody else's life and testimony. He wants to deal with you. The testimony of somebody else is just to lead you to Jesus. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. The Father, listen, the Father wants to have a relationship with you. I hope you know that. It's because it's the Father Himself, Jesus says, the Father Himself who loves you. It's not Jesus protecting you from the angry Father. I know about fathers. I've had a father before. I'd just rather stick with Jesus. And my dad was a bad guy. No. He says, I'm going to give you to Abba Father. I'm going to lead you to your Father. He's the one who loves you. You remember over in Matthew, where Matthew began to talk about praying in secret, and your Heavenly Father will reward you openly. And just several references in the Sermon on the Mount to your Father. Your Father. And that book is written to the Jewish people. So he's referencing now the Father, whom they do not know as Father. They know him as God. They know him as Yahweh, who you can't even say his name. But Jesus is introducing them to a God who is their Father, who loves them, who will walk with them like Abraham and like Moses walked with him. And that's the same God that Jesus walks with, and he wants you to know him too. And he can, and you will. You do. Amen. And just come to him. Just come to him. I cried to the Lord. So just cry to the Lord. He likes that. He wants you to come with just bare nothing. Just come in your underwear. You know, he wants you to come in and just, you know, be alone with him. And he's your Father. He doesn't want you fixed up. He doesn't want your makeup on. He doesn't want your mustache trimmed. He doesn't want your hair combed. He wants you to come in to him and fellowship with him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and I cried. He's crying again. I preceded. The word prevented there in the Old English and the King James means I preceded the dawning of the morning. So before the day began, I preceded the morning and I hoped in thy word. So what have we done? I will keep thy statutes. I will keep thy testimonies and I'll hope in your word. Oh, man. We're connecting his word and me. Every verse here connects his word and his promise to me. So his promise, every promise in him is what? Yea. Yes and amen. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Verse 148. Mine eyes precede the night watches. So before dawn and then before going to bed. So up late. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. So in other words, when the night watches are yet to come, the late night guys who are sitting up to watch and take care of the camp, you know, those are the guys who are staying up late or are going to do the after midnight group. Is that before those guys even come on duty, I'm going to be in your presence. Mine eyes precede the night watches, that I might meditate in your word. That I might meditate in your word. To meditate, to chew. The word meditate means to chew, or to like a cow eating his cud. Y'all have heard that before. You swallow it and bring it back up. It's so good you want to enjoy it later. Is that you're meditating upon his word, his promise. You're knowing his word is always for you. Lamentations chapter 2. It says, arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart. Like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. So arise and cry in the night. So again, if you've gone to bed, get up. I mean, if you can't sleep, get up and just cry unto the Lord. Get up and just rejoice and thank him. Father. And just tell him. They said, you know, my mind is in turmoil. Father, I thank you for your comfort. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you're meeting with me. You know, you don't have to call the pastor. You could, I guess. But you wake him up, and you remember Jim used to talk about the story. He put the phone down in the other end of the house, so if the phone rang in the middle of the night, he had time to pray and repent before he got to the phone. And hello? Been waiting for your call. Otherwise, you know, if he'd had it right by the bed, he probably would have, what? Just pray. Arise. Cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart. Pour out your heart. Pour out your heart. You know, God's not offended by you pouring out your heart. You know, you don't have to just, you know, have a listed prayer. You know, so many times in the liturgical prayers, it just sounds so dignified. God doesn't care anything about dignified. Amen? God doesn't care anything about dignified. He cares about you just crying out to him. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. You know, so don't be nervous. Just come in and say, God, what am I going to do now? This is the craziest thing. I have never seen any problem like this ever before. And I probably deserved every bit of it, but I just don't know what to do next. Father, I thank you. And just worship him. Just come before him. But even cry out. Even cry. Level your complaint before the Lord. Oh, he might get mad. No, he won't. He won't get mad. He's not mad. He loves you. He loves you. Incredibly. That's why he made you. He made you. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. His desire is to have fellowship with you. That's what Jesus is all about, is you having fellowship with the Father. That's what Jesus is all about. He's to reconcile you. That's what this part of the Psalm, of Psalm 119 is all about. Is we're kind of closing in on the end of toward the end of this particular Psalm. But he's talking about crying out to the Lord. He's talking about making a cry to the Lord. So I want to encourage you to do that. Just cry to the Lord. I mean, take off your good looking clothes and just cry to the Lord. Or don't get fixed up. Don't get fixed up. Just come in and cry to the Lord. He's the Lord your God. He made you. He loves you. He redeemed you by the blood of his Son. Psalm 130 verse 6. My soul watches for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Verse 149. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Oh, now we're kind of drawing in some of his promise. We're drawing in his promise now. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Oh Lord, quicken me. Make me alive according to your judgment. Again, another me, you know. Or we talked about a me. All of this thing is about me and I. Well, that sounds selfish. No, that's what God wants. God wants in the prayer closet, like what Jesus was talking about. He says, your Father, pray to your Father in secret and He will reward you openly. His desire is to bless you and to work for you and in you and through you. First of all, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Not with stuff, just with joy. Just with joy. You're totally at peace. I'm totally at peace. Here comes a thing. I'm totally at peace. It's looking bad. Totally at peace. My back of my head is saying, ah! But I'm totally at peace. Shut up. You know, because you get this little guy in the back of your head going, oh, it's going to be bad. Trouble's coming. You better brace yourself. And in the middle of that little conversation going on, you would just want to begin to, Father, I just thank you that you have taken care of every single thing. That's a sure clue. When fear comes in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. That's you. That's the soul and the spirit having that confrontation right there, that the Word of God has already spoken to it. And you say, no, the Spirit of the Lord has raised up His flag. His flag, the standard is the flag where you put it. You put up your flag when you take the city, right? You take down the older guy's flag and you put up yours. Well, God's already put up His flag on you. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. Because for the king is in residence there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remember that song? Boy, that's an oldie. That's an oldie but a goodie. Children's Church, 1979. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Long time ago. Praise God.
Just like yesterday. Praise the Lord. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Oh Lord, quicken me. Just get on the inside of me and just flip that switch. According to your judgment. Your judgment. His judgment is not always like, okay, boy, are you going to get it. You know, His judgment is, you're righteous because of my Son. That's what His judgment is. Quicken me according to your judgment. I mean, you know, when the guy says, okay, yeah, let him go. I took his punishment. So let him go. Quicken me according to your judgment. With Him we also get all things. Amen? I'll give you that one. Romans 8:32. He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You get Jesus, you get everything. I got Jesus. When do I get everything? You already got it. Well, I don't see it. I didn't say you got to see it. You just got to know you have it. It's JIT. Anybody know what JIT is? Just in time. Just in time inventory. That way you're not weighed down. Okay, where did I put that? No, you don't need to find out where you put it. It's when you need it, it's there. You remember what Jesus told His 12 guys and then the 70 guys? He said, don't take a staff. Don't take a money. Don't take an extra coat. As you're going, it's pretty meager. It's pretty meager supplies. When we go overseas, we pack two or three bags. Unless you're David Cooper, you pack a bag like about that. Who's that gal who does that? What's it called, Lynn? What's it called? The packing thing?
I don't know.
You do some kind of packing thing. It's, I thought you knew this. No, she doesn't pack like.
No.
She packs like Janet. Packs everything. Everything. Janet packs everything. If she could put the house on and float it over to Africa, that's what we would do. Take the whole house. You know. As it is, we could actually ride on the bags, just do it like that. So, but I mean, you know, Cooper puts it all in this old, he puts it in a small carry-on, one, for a week and a half.
Amazing.
And his kids all know how to do that. Girls.
Wow.
These are girls. I mean, we were over there, Abby had the same kind of bag. You know, teenage girl. In one little bag. That's what Jesus told those guys to take when he sent them out to lay hands, on the sick and to cast out demons. See, you don't need anything but just me. You just don't need anything but the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. The power of God. It's really all you need. It is all you need. Psalm 119, verse 88. Quicken me after your loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. You quicken me after your loving kindness. In that, that's how I keep the testimony of your mouth. I'm quickened by your loving kindness. There's nothing that can by any means hurt me. Because his loving kindness carries me everywhere. Carries me everywhere. Psalm 150, or verse 150. They draw near that follow after mischief. Oh, here they come. They are far from thy law. Here come the bad guys. Here comes the guys that want to destroy me. They hate my faith. They will abuse me. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 says, and Elisha answered his servant and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Psalm 151, or verse 1, verse 151. You're not used to having this many verses, so you say Psalm 1. But there is no Psalm 151, by the way, just so you know. So, verse 151, thou art near. So they draw near, but thou art near. The previous verse is, the bad guys are drawing near. 151 says, you are near, O Lord. And all your commandments are truth. So whatever they say is not true. Whatever you say is true. It's not something I have to think about. It's not something I have to test. What you say is true. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near.
Amen.
Call upon him. Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're moving on the inside of me. Father, these things that are coming against me, Lord, I just come before you and just ask you to take over me. More than take over it, more than take over them, take over me. Take over me. Verse 152. Last verse we'll do. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Concerning your testimonies, those things that you testify of, I have known. This is my history with you, Father. I have known of old that thou hast founded these testimonies forever. They have an eternal foundation. They have an eternal foundation. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of our God, his testimonies, the word of our, everything else fades. Everything else goes by the wayside. I had a ton of leaves fall on the ground at my house. But when they're all swept away, there's life underneath. There's life underneath. You know, things still grow. Sweep off all the old dead things. The grass withers, the leaves wither. You know, the leaves wither. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, life keeps coming back every year. Every year, life keeps coming back. Amen. Springtime and harvest will continue until the day the Lord returns. The seasons will continue until the day the Lord returns. As long as you see the sun coming up in the morning, it's like a resurrection, isn't it? Wait, just glory to God. Wait, you wake up. Oh, I'm still here. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, so many people, you know, I mean, they have desperate lives. People do. They have desperate lives. And we're not discounting the fact that they have desperate lives. But here's how you begin to share with somebody is that there is a God in heaven who loves you, who is real, and His Son died for your sins, and the Father Himself loves you, and that Father desires to come and live and dwell on the inside of you and transform you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. This is the hope of every person. Not even that it's going to get better. Well, it's going to get better tomorrow. You can't guarantee it's going to get better tomorrow. It might not. But what happens is what gets better is you have a relationship with the living God. That's what's better. That's what makes you new inside. It doesn't matter what is happening on the outside. Is that you have the living God pumping life through the inside of you. It's who you are. I'm a son of the living God. A child of the living God. He dwells in me. I'm not looking for something to happen to show me that. He's already promised it and He already made it happen. I am in Him. He is in me. Psalm 89:34-37. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. That's Jesus. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. His promises are founded forever. This is me. This is who I am. I'm crying out to the living God. I'm crying out to the living God. He is in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. He doesn't give me a magic wand to get it done. He just gives me Himself. And He comes and lives on the inside of me. And as I just rejoice and thank Him daily, cry to Him. Go ahead and cry to Him. Just be naked. Be naked before the Lord. Amen?
That's good.
We are anyway.
It's true. Everything is naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. That's right. Well, you are. So just be comfortable with that. And, well, I can't. Just come in. I just want to encourage you just to come in. Just come into the presence of the Lord. Come into the presence of the Lord. He loves you. He is not coming to make you, to embarrass you or to... But He's coming in to love you.
Glory.
It may be an embarrassment to you to be that open, to be that bare before Him. He loves you. Amen. So let's come in. Let's cry to the Lord. Let's cry to the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be hesitant to cry to the Lord. Prayer is coming into the presence of the Lord, just you and He. Now, we have prayer, you know, together. We have corporate prayer. But there's something different about, you know, there's your family and then your husband or your wife. Different dynamic, huh? Totally different dynamic. That's the person with whom you're most intimate. You are most intimate with the God who loves you. It's not people that you want intimacy with. It's God. God who created you, He's the one you want intimacy with because He's the one who you're going to spend eternity with. And you already started. Eternity, how many? Eternity starts when you receive Jesus. Now your body's going to fall off one day, but that's okay. You don't need it. He'll give you a new one day. But what you want is eternity with Jesus Christ right now to begin to walk with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just rejoice. Thank You for the power of God. Thank You for the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised, He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Comforter who is with you and shall be in you. And I thank You, Lord God, that You determined to come and to live on the inside of each one who has received the sacrifice of Jesus and transform us into Your image. cause us to walk in joy unspeakable and full of glory. And to be a testimony. To bring in somebody else. No matter who they may be. Wherever you send us. Wherever we show up. Wherever we show up. That's where the Spirit of God is. We don't have to look for a means or a way to get into your presence. We just say, Father, I thank you right now that I'm in your presence. Can be in the car, can be outside, can be in a prayer closet in your home. Doesn't matter where you might be. Could be in the worst situation. Peter and John in prison, or Paul and Silas, whoever it was, and they were singing at night, and the prisoners heard them because they were in the presence of the Lord. They just in the middle of the prison, they were in the presence of the Lord. So if you're in a prison today, the Father's right there. He can just make an earthquake. Peter was in the prison and he just fell asleep. And the angel came and smote him, poked him, punched him. Wake up! We're getting out of here. We're breaking out. And every door opened up and let him out of the prison. He came to the house where they were praying, knocked on the door. The girl went to the door. Who is it? They're all afraid. It's Peter. No, it's not. She goes and tells everybody, said, Peter, somebody outside says they're Peter. So they go and they open the door. And there he is. Because the Lord had delivered him. Father, I thank you for deliverance today for those who are in fear, those who are in prison. Thank you for it. Father, we know those who are in prison. Everything may not be going perfectly our way on the outward. But we know even though our circumstance may not be perfect, we also know people who are in worse, who are in prison, who are in difficulty, who don't know you. Father, give us the opportunity to share with them your love and your peace. We don't even know how to share this thing. We barely got it ourselves. Father, give us wisdom. Let us be a witness, not a storyteller. Let us be a witness of your love and the confidence that we have in you. Because we cry out to you.
Amen.
Because we cry out to you. Father, teach us to cry out to you. Teach us to cry out. That we would be broken before you. Be real before you and not just liturgical. Praying a written prayer. Praying a prayer that sounds holy or that sounds righteous. Let us cry out before you.
Amen.
Father, we just love you and thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We thank you. We magnify and exalt you, Jesus. We love you with all of our heart. Father, we cry out. Father, I love you. I love you, Father. I thank you that the kingdom of heaven belongs to me because you bought it for me. And I thank you that I just cast all of my cares and my troubles upon you because you care for me. And I trust you, Lord God, that though I don't see an answer, I don't see a deliverance on the horizon, Lord, that you've already made provision. And so I will just continue to just praise and thank you. And I will hear your voice and you will lead me every single day. I will hear your voice. I hear your voice. Lead me. Thank you, Lord. Give ear to my cry.
Yes, God.
Yes, Lord.
Hold not your peace at my tears. I cried. Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. That's my soul. That's my soul. My spirit is always rejoicing. My spirit is always full. So we give you praise.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you're good. God, you're good. You're good.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.